saints thinking while they were singing, I guess the Lord's been around since forever. I've been saved for 25 years. I mean, that's a little speck of time in light of eternity past. But he hadn't changed a bit, Brother Freddy, since I've known him. And I can read the record of him throughout the Bible, and he hadn't changed since then. So if he hadn't changed since eternity past, and he hadn't changed in my lifespan, I pretty much can count on him not to change tomorrow. Amen. Oh, man changes and religion changes. I'm about sick of that word religion. I don't know about you, but look with me this morning at Exodus chapter number 20, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Are y'all okay with this series? Sometimes I get bogged down in something, and I'll be honest with you, it gets a little aggravating to me. It's out of my norm to know what I'm going to preach from week to week. I don't know if any of these other preachers feel like that. I know some preachers have their sermons planned out for months in advance. I can't do that. I don't mean I don't study and prepare. I just don't operate that way. And if the Lord gave me something else, I'd ditch this in a heartbeat and do what he said. Amen. So I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, you want me to keep this up? He said, have I give you anything else? I said, well, guess not. So we'll dance with the date we brought. Amen. That's probably a bad illustration. Exodus chapter number 20. We have been looking at the Ten Commandments. We've said this every week, Brother Greg. They're commandments. They're not suggestions. Amen. It's not that the Lord said, hey, this might be a good idea that you have no other gods before me. I don't know. You can try other things, but if that doesn't work out, see how this will work for you. It's not a suggestion. The Lord doesn't just stop in the life of the children of Israel and say, hey, I got a good idea. This is God's law. Amen. It's kind of like going to court and fighting a traffic ticket. When you were caught going 65 in a 45, why fight it? It's the law. You broke it. Pay it. Amen. Now, if the officer is crooked, like I won't mention any names, but a certain Spanish-looking fellow in our church, if he's like that, and he pulls you over for no reason and shines bright lights in your face, and maybe take him to court. But you know, as I think back on it, I've never been stopped except by Brother Sanchez when I did not deserve it. And really, I probably deserved it that night, because as he was walking to my truck, I was grabbing my seatbelt. Amen. God has never punished us one time for anything we did not deserve. Talk to me now. Have you ever prayed and looked to God and said, God, this isn't fair? I spent my half of my life making that statement, not to God, but to teachers, to my mama. When we don't get our way and when we don't get what we want, our first response is, that's not fair. Let's talk about what's fair. God gave us His law. He said, if you obey Him, I'll extend your life. You'll live longer. You'll live happier. You'll live better if you'll just obey my law. But if you break my law, you will be punished. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I mean, He just laid it out for us. It's real simple. God doesn't. You say, well, I don't understand the Bible. You read the first 20 verses of Exodus chapter number 20 and explain to me what you don't understand. It's a third grade level, friend. Well, I don't really think God meant. Let me tell you what God meant. Read it and he meant exactly what he said. It's not a vague picture or a gray area. It is black and white in every area of our lives. Understand that. In rearing your children, God has a plan and God has a rule. For marriage, the relationship between a man and his wife, God has a rule. Amen. Well, it's not fair that my wife is taking everything I got. You slept around on her, Jack. You ought to be thrown in hell naked with your back broke. We're going to get to that. Y'all just wait for it. I may mix this up so you don't know what Sunday thou shalt not commit adultery comes. Because I'm just going to read the scripture and throw a fit for about an hour and a half. It's destroying our country. Our morals are at an all-time low, and I ain't even got to it this morning. I may go ahead and throw a fit this morning. Our morals are at an all-time low. All because we have ignored God's rule for our life. I remember a few years ago, Brother Todd, you were teaching in our school, and they opened up a school, and if anybody's listening on the radio, I don't want to offend you, but I think this is stupid. They opened a school down here off 101. It didn't last long, and it closed. And I can't remember the term for the school, Brother Todd May, but here's their philosophy. You have a classroom full of children and a teacher who is only there to help if they need it. And here's the philosophy. Let the child do whatever he wants. Well, that's good, isn't it? My grandson, Hayden, is disappeared, but he's 3 years old. He loves that train out there. Should I let him go play with it? Well, he wants to. He spent the night with us last night. He saw a commercial on cartoons. They've got a video game of Tom and Jerry. He had the bright idea. Papa, let's go to Walmart, get Tom and Jerry game. I said, we got to go to church, son. He said, go buy Walmart on the way. Now, wouldn't that have been good if the pastor of the Happy Valley Baptist Church was at Walmart shopping for a video game this morning when he ought to be in church? All because the baby wants to go to Walmart. How many of you allow your children just to do whatever they want? You're brave if you raise your hand. Blaze says, I get to do whatever I want. I doubt that very seriously. That's Jay Bice's grandson. I know better. Amen. God's laws are there for a reason. And they're not to hurt us, Brother Freddie. Listen, I get as aggravated as you do. Brother Daniel, I say this with all respect. That 35 mile an hour speed zone right there, my truck won't go 35 mile an hour. I have to ride my brakes all the way through town. It really won't. That little thing's going, it wants to go. I had to hold her back like holding the reins on the horse. By the way, that's how my day started. I backed out of the driveway and the horse is loose. Stupid thing. I started to shoot it in the head. Anyway, hope ain't no PETA people listening this morning. That 35 mile an hour speed zone is not there to hurt you. Now, I know in some cases they have the speed traps and that's crooked, but that's not a speed trap. This is town. There's an elementary school right over there. There's a hospital right down the street. There's a housing project between us and the project. Should the speed limit be 70? You're goofy if you believe that. That's not an autobahn. That's a city. It's there not for our oppression. It is there for our protection. Amen. And I promise you, if you obey the highway laws, you'll be driving a lot longer. Amen. Amen. Brother Todd's a City of Atlanta policeman. That's one of the most confusing places in the world to live, or to work, or to drive, or to eat, or to go. I hate it. I'd survive better in the jungle in Africa somewhere. But they've got these signs that have an arrow that point. And I learned this the hard way. And they say, one way. Every other street goes in opposite direction, and they're all one way. Has anybody besides me ever turned on one? You driving up through there, and all these people go, "Hey, you blankety blankety blank," and waving at you with one finger, and you're going, "Oh my God." I've had to back out of one of those one-way streets. I'm saying God's laws are here to help us. Now we come this morning to our fourth commandment in God's Ten Commandments. Remember we said that the first four or the first half of the Ten Commandments have to deal with your relationship to God? And the last half of the commandments have to deal with your relationship to each other? Amen. Why did he put it in that order? Because if the relationship with God is not right, the relationship with man cannot be right. Amen. That's why the very first commandment is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Remember we said this, I'm going to say it every week. Number one has got to be number one. That's why he is the first commandment. Amen. Number two was what? The graven images. Is that right? What was number three? The taking the Lord's name in vain. Now watch this. Here is our fourth. Commandment dealing with our relationship to God. Look at verse number 8. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Amen. This morning, we're going to preach on this thought, on this fourth commandment, what ever happened to Sunday? What ever happened to Sunday? And I know what the Sabbath is, and we're going to deal with that in just a minute. I know you got some family that's a Seventh-day Adventist because they got rocks in their head. Amen. And we're going to deal with that, and we're going to talk about it. But listen, I want to first look at this aspect this morning. What ever happened to the Lord's Day? There was a time in America when the Lord's Day was the most important day of the week. Did you know that store owners put the Lord's Day above making money and they closed their doors? I'm just 45 years old. I remember when if your car was on E, you better get gas on Saturday evening. Come on, Brother Charles, you remember when Dallas was like that? I mean, brother, if you wanted anything, you needed groceries, whatever, you better do it Saturday evening because everything shut up on Sunday. Why? It was the Lord's Day. Amen. I thank God there is one, or there may be many, but there's one major business owner in America who still honors the Lord's Day. You can go eat anywhere in town today and find a seat, but you ain't going to Chick-fil-A. Because Truett Cathy said, "That's the Lord's Day, and I will honor it." Not many millionaires left like that. By the way, I think that's why he's a millionaire. There ain't but one reason that place could be a success, and that's God. Yeah. Well, what do you mean, why couldn't it? They ain't grease dripping off nothing. Amen. Because he honors the Lord's Day. I wonder how God would bless your life if you'd honor the Lord's Day. Amen. I've got his book in my office. I let Brother Scott Sparks, my wife's cousin, borrow it to read it because he opened that restaurant in Rockmart. Maybe he's listening this morning. And by the way, they did close the restaurant on Sundays. I don't know where he's at today, but maybe eating at somebody else's restaurant. But I believe with all my heart God blessed that man because he honored the Lord's Day. We're living in a day where everything else takes precedence over. We'd come to church, preacher, but we've just got so much going on. What's more important than taking one day out of your busy week to give to God? What's that important? I could understand if somebody's in intensive care for you not being here. I could understand if you take 1 week a year and take a vacation with your family, no problem. Brother Freddie will ask me every now and then. Brother Charles will call, hey, if you don't mind, we're going to be gone this weekend. Help yourself. You need to get away from this crowd every now and then. Amen. Amen. I'm not against that. But listen, on a normal basis, if we are God's people, I'm talking to saved people this morning, you ought to be in church. Amen. Come on, talk to me now. You saw the preacher expects me to be there every time the door's open. You reckon your boss expects you to show up in the morning? And don't come at me with, oh, but he pays me. I'm giving you something this morning. Money can't buy. We walked in here last Sunday morning. I didn't even preach. Five people got born again right here in this altar. One old boy got saved, said he didn't believe in organized religion, said it was a fake and a phony. He just come in to shut his girlfriend up. Hallelujah. He don't think it's a fake no more. Amen. He didn't get that down at the Taco Bell. Can I get a witness? We have gotten such a rat race society. How many of you are busy? Come on, that's not a trick question. We all are. Man, there is so much going on. You know what? You have to make time for God. If God's going to have place in your life, you're going to have to give Him that place in your life. You're going to have to prioritize some things. You're going to have to stand up to your family reunion. You're going to have to stand up to grandma and grandpa. And I ain't shooting at you, granny. I'll come after church, all right? But you're going to have to tell people, no, we go to church on Sunday. Yeah. Isn't the devil smooth? How can I compete with NASCAR? We didn't have any jets to fly. Wouldn't that be cool if we had fighter jets fly over our building every Sunday morning to start our services? I wonder if I call the military and say, hey, y'all do it for NASCAR. How about buzzing our building every... Have somebody famous come in and sing, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? We can't even. But that crowd, I don't know how many seats is in Talladega Super Speedway. But there's a heap of them. We might could cram 400 in here. I know they can do better than 40,000. Am I right about it? Huh? 120, somebody else said 140? Did you know you have to get your tickets early? Boy, y'all quiet on me now. You say, yeah, but preacher, that's exciting. I know. Woo, boy, you know what I do on Sunday afternoon? I'm a nap taker. All I got to do is cut me on some NASCAR. Don't take long. But we have to compete with that. Somebody holler out good and loud, who knows, and I'm not going to ridicule you for going to a race. I'd love to go to one, but it's on Sunday. Somebody holler out good and loud, who knows and who've been, what a good seat cost at Talladega. 150 to 100. Yeah, there's a race fan right there. Oh, yeah, we'd get Craig Garnto good. I appreciate it. That boy's been faithful, brother. $125, Brother Craig, that's about right. $125, you'll go stand, and I'm not after you, but let me say they, make Brother Craig feel better. You'll go stand in that crowd, bumper to bumper traffic for hours just to get in the place, pay $125, but you won't come to the house of God claiming to be a child of God and put God's tithe in that place. I ain't never heard about nobody's marriage getting fixed down in Talladega. Boy, our marriage was on the rocks. We was just about to call it quits, and hallelujah, we went to the race, and God took care of everything. Yeah. Amen. I asked Brother Jason a while ago. I said, what's a good seat that the Falcons game costs? He said about 70, 80 bucks. Same for the Braves stadium. And they'll pack them by the thousands. Yes, sir. And I wonder if on any given Sunday, we could stand in the middle of that ball field and take a microphone and say, would all of God's children please stand up? Yes. We're still in the South. Yeah, There's a lot of saved people. Our children will grow up and not respect the church or the Lord's Day because we haven't taught them that. My son and both of my daughters are here this morning, and I never remember, ever remember them asking, are we going to church today? They knew this was the Lord's Day. We okay? We have to compete with football. We have to compete with baseball. We have to compete with NASCAR. The PGA. You need a life. I can understand playing golf. But watching it? I'd rather watch cars rust, man. But we have to compete with that stuff. Huh? I don't want to go see Tiger cuss. By the way, he's a filthy mouth, wicked individual.
Yeah.
If you want to know about Tiger, if that's your hero.
Yeah.
Amen. He don't believe in your God.
Yeah.
Tell you like it is.
Amen.
We have to worship. It's bad when we got to compete with a flea market. God's having to compete with junk.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Whatever happened to Sunday, we ought to put that up high on our priority.
Amen.
Some husbands ought to look at some wives this morning and say, honey, from now on, we're going to be in church.
Yeah.
We're going to be in church on Sunday. Not because we owe that to God, but because we need to hear from God on Sunday. Boy, somebody said, preacher, you've been preaching rough. I'm preaching God's law. It's not me, friend. It's him.
Amen.
Now listen. Give me attention just for a few minutes. It's already 11:15. Four exits up. This command is the only one, I think, or this command does not have a thou shalt not in it. Doesn't have a thou shalt not. It has a thou shalt. He's giving you something to do. He's giving you some things not to do. Now that's bad, because religion wants to say you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't listen to this, you can't watch that. But God's not like that. He's not just taking. He's giving you something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. To replace the other things in your life. Amen. In the Old Testament, now let's deal with this. In the Old Testament, the main day of worship, or the Sabbath, took place on Saturday. Is that right? It was the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. By the way, this is not the weekend today. Your weekend's over.
Amen.
Well, the weekend is all I have. No, weekend ended yesterday.
That's right.
Pull your calendar out, see which day's first.
Amen.
Today is the first day of the week. It's Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So why do we not worship as they did in the Old Testament on Saturday? Boy, that'd get in some of y'all's business, wouldn't it? God bless you, Charlie. Cody, we're praying for you, son. Be tough and be strong. Amen, because they're going to kill you. Where was I at?
Saturday.
Oh, yeah, we'd mess up some of y'all. Y'all quit church. But there are people today who practice and believe that, and they think we're abomination.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever dealt with a Seventh-day Adventist. Their doctrine is not just messed up on the Sabbath, by the way. It's messed up in several areas.
Yeah.
So why do we worship on Sunday? Can I give you an answer for that?
Yeah.
This is a deep theological, you better get this.
Yeah.
Here's the answer. Jesus. There's the answer. We worship on Sunday, and I'm going to explain why. But we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, you worship God on Saturday because they did in the Old Testament? Well, in the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals for the atonement of their sin.
Yes.
So we're going to come by your house after a while and string up your cat. Oh, we want to stick with the Old Testament, do we? Bring Fifi and Fido in here and whatever that little sissy dog you got's name is. Fifi, I think it's Fifi, something like that. It's a boy dog with a bow in its hair and painted fingernails. Fifi. Come on. We're going to have to go down to the goat sale. Yeah. Me, Ma, where's she at? My daddy-in-law goes to the goat sale. We're going to have to go to the goat sale and kill a goat. Why don't we do that? Can anybody give me the answer? It's the same one.
Yeah.
Jesus took care of that at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. He took care of it once and for all. Hallelujah.
Yes,
so why do I worship God on Sunday? Let me give you some reasons. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 1, the Lord was raised from the dead on Sunday. The resurrection was on Sunday. So if there's a day to celebrate and worship the Lord for His resurrection, I'm going to celebrate and worship on the day that He did it.
Amen.
Amen. Can I give you some more? The Holy Spirit empowered the church in Acts chapter number... Where did I lost my place? Acts chapter number 2 on Sunday.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost came down like a mighty rushing wind. It was on Sunday.
Yeah.
The Lord's Supper was observed on Sunday.
Man.
Amen. We just did that here last Sunday night. The collection. What? Y'all, all I got to do is say money, collection, offering. Y'all bow your head. The collection was taken on Sunday. Is that 1 Corinthians, Brother Freddie? Yes, chapter number 16. In Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 10, Sunday's called the Lord's Day. The message of the revelation itself was given on the Lord's Day. That's pretty good stuff. Jesus had a lot of conflict with the world or the religious crowd over this thing of the Sabbath. Remember, that's what they kept fussing about.
Yeah.
Every time they corner him on something, you're doing this on the Sabbath, you're doing that on the Sabbath, blah, 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 blah. Up one side and down the other. He had great conflict with the Jews about the Sabbath. And he defended his disciples for plucking grain on the Sabbath in Matthew chapter number 12. Is that right? He called attention to the circumcision of a male child on the Sabbath in John chapter number 7. He rebuked the ruler of the synagogue who became fussy and mad when he healed a woman on the Sabbath who had an infirmity for 18 years. Did you know? I didn't know this till I began studying this thing out. More of Jesus' miracles were performed on the Sabbath than any other day. He performed more miracles on the Sabbath than any other day. Let me give you a few. The demoniac man in Capernaum in Mark chapter number 1. Peter's mother-in-law in Capernaum also in Mark chapter number 1. The impotent man at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem in John chapter number 5. The man with a withered hand in Mark chapter number 3. The woman, the man with the dropsy or the disease in Luke chapter number 4. The man born blind in Luke chapter number 9. Listen, man, God works on the Sabbath. Amen. Hallelujah. Sunday is the day the New Testament points to. Somebody said, do y'all believe in the Sabbath? In principle. Does that make sense? I fully believe in the principle of the Sabbath. And I'm never going to be able to finish all this morning, but let me just give you the thought right quickly. Sundays, people say, oh, why don't you come over and do this? Why don't you come? No. Leave me alone. Are y'all all right?
Amen.
Leave me alone. Angie cooks supper for our children lunch for our children every Sunday. Last night, she went to the grocery store, got to buy all this stuff for a chicken pot pie, and I said, let's take the day off. Since the grandbaby's spending the night with us, and we'll send him home with his mom and daddy. Mom, we just come home and rest. Amen. I believe in the Sabbath in principle. Amen. Now listen, let me give you at least two thoughts, okay? I've got at least four. It's almost 12:30. I'm going to try to hurry. We believe in the principle of the Sabbath we believe in the principle of worship. The Sabbath day was a set aside. Nobody worked. Every thought, every action was centered toward God. It was a day of worship. And we ought to come in this place every Sunday in a spirit of worship. Hey, businessmen, don't come in here drumming up business on Sunday. Hey, politician, don't come in here politicking on Sunday. Isn't it funny how politicians only go to church at a certain season? With their big sign in the back of their truck. One of my dear friends I grew up with is now Chase's boss. He's the sheriff of Paulding County, and he's my friend. And he'd appreciate me saying this, I think. I told him he got faithful at Northside Baptist Church, and he ran for sheriff. And I told him, I said, you better know I'm going to vote for you, but you better stay faithful to God afterward. Amen. You know what that pastor told me? Here's what he said. I don't know what I'd do without Gary Gulledge. What a testimony. I'm glad he wasn't there for what he could get out of people. Amen. I'm glad he was there for what he could get out of God. Amen. Amen. It ain't bad to come to church to get something from him. Hey, but I hope you didn't come to get something from him or from him or from him. Hey, if you get anything from me, it's because God gave it to me.
That's right.
Amen. We ought to come in the principle of worship. People get nervous when we begin to worship. They get nervous. How many of you believe worship is commanded in the Bible?
Yeah.
Over and over, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, don't get mad. If you disagree, disagree, and we'll agree to disagree. How's that worship? That's what most people consider. Oh, we worship the Lord today. No, you didn't. Your mind drifted. You worried about your job. You thought about balancing. I've watched people while I preach balance their checkbook. I've watched them sit there with a cell phone in their hand, trying to make sure I ain't looking. David, put that thing up. You can get another message from your mother-in-law later. That's a close family right there. Don't tell me your mind's on God when your thumbs is on the keyboard. Your mind ain't on God. Some of these young boys in the church. Good thing we ain't got no good-looking visiting girls this morning. Ain't that right, Michael? You can think about God for a change.
Amen.
Say amen right there. Coward, you know I'm telling you the truth. Any of my preacher friends come in, got some good-looking daughters? I don't have to say somebody welcome them. Uh-uh, Michael's all over that. Can I get a witness? Tabitha's sitting there going, uh-huh. Well, thank God he ain't welcoming the boys. Amen. I'm on your side, buddy. I was once your age, too. We come in this place, our hearts, our thoughts, and our minds ought to be centered on Him. This is His day. This is His day. You're going to be so busy tomorrow, you can't give Him 100% of your mind. You'll chop your finger off on your job. You'll shoot a nail through your hand. I couldn't help it, brother. I just couldn't help it. Seriously, you have to think about your job. If you don't, you're robbing your boss. But if you think about your job right now, you're robbing your God who gave you that job. Here's the only thought you should have today about your job. Thank you, Lord, that my alarm clock will go off in the morning. Thank you, Lord, that I have a job to go to tomorrow. Thank you, God. Help me to be the best worker they have. That ought to be the only thought about your job today. Today is a day of worship. And we come to worship the Lord this morning. It ought to be a day of worship with remembrance. Isn't that how he started the command, Brother Todd? Am I right? Did he say, remember? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? We're a forgetful bunch of people, aren't we? Oh, it would be such a nice gesture if we built a mosque at Ground Zero. Well, let's build a Japanese shrine at Pearl Harbor. We forgot.
Yes.
We forgot.
Amen.
I said we forgot. Some of you this morning, or not you, some of you on the radio are laying out of church because you forgot.
Amen.
I haven't forgot me and your daddy in that front yard. Somebody said, why do you talk about that so much? Because I want to remember what God did for me.
Yeah.
Amen. I hadn't forgot my wife and my mother while I was under the tree with Jason's dad getting saved. My wife, my mother leading my wife to Christ. Hey man, that's the greatest thing that ever happened in our life.
Yeah.
How dare me think something's more important than him on Sunday.
Amen.
We ought to remember as we come in this place how he delivered us.
Amen.
Here's what he commanded the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter number 5. In Deuteronomy chapter number 5 and verse number 15, watch what he said. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. He said, wait a minute, I wasn't a servant in the land of Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is always a type of the world. How many of you remember when the world had you? Who brought you out of it? Read Psalms chapter number 40 sometime when you get a chance. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry and lifted me out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, and established my going. Somebody ought to say amen and help me have some church in here this morning. How dare we forget how he delivered us? And let's never forget that.
Amen.
We ought to come in here and remember. Some people worship the creation. Well, what we need to do is remember the God who created it. I had a crazy Yankee friend of mine. Wrote it loud. I'm talking about with the New York Yankee accent. Rode around me all week this week. Every time I'd fuss at him about something, he'd say, forget about it. Forget about it. He sent me a text yesterday, said, forget about it. I made fun of him for saying that. I said, man, you sound like a mobster. But we'd ride down the road, and old brother Vince would look out the window, and he said, postcard. Postcard. You know what he was saying? That's beautiful. These fields are beautiful. These rocky streams are beautiful. God did that. God did that. I got out of my truck, and these parking lot today. I said, boy, it's a pretty day. God did that. Last night I laid in the bed and I was thinking about what I was preaching. And it began to thunder. I said, I hear you, Lord. Brother Freddie and I, when we were building our house, we were laying our foundation. He was laying it, I was his labor. Told, get me a block, old skate, sir. Amen. And you remember it came a thunderstorm? I'll never forget that as long as I live. And Brother Freddie and I stood there, and as smart as we are, under the power lines. We did, didn't we? I just thought about that. I shouldn't even tell this. I normally use something like that to make him look dumb, but I was with him. And it was coming, a lightning storm like I hadn't seen in a long time. I mean a long time. I mean it was that where you could watch it. Just over the hill. We never thought about running. And we sat there in awe. Just about in tears over the mightiness. And over the power of our God. I got 110 coming out my wall socket. I don't know how much is one of them lightning bolts, but I can't imagine what would happen to my electric razor if I got plugged into that.
Yeah.
Amen. But I'm here to tell you, 25 years ago on a New Year's Eve in Jay Boss's front yard, that's what I plugged into.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the God I serve. Amen. We ought to worship in remembrance of his creation, in remembrance of his deliverance.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me just give you these right quick. We ought to worship in the principle of our relationship. You say, why do y'all shout? Because we know him.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Because we know him.
Amen.
A little girl named Chantel at camp. And please, don't, I'm not bragging on myself. But she got saved. She was about 8 years old, 3 years ago when she got saved, because she's about 11 now. And there was a bunch of girls. Me and Brother Jonathan and my niece was sitting there and we were signing Bibles. Bunch of kids. I mean, 50 or 60 of them wanted their Bible signed. And Chantel was standing beside me. And every kid who walked up, she put her hand on my shoulder. She said, I know him. He's my friend. I thought, wow. That was precious to my heart. But inside my heart, I thought, dear little girl, you don't know much, do you? Can I just say to you this morning, I know him.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I know him, Brother Freddie. I don't know about him. I know him.
That's right, preacher.
Our kids used to sing that song, I know him. But best of all, he knows me.
Yeah.
Woo! Amen. Hey, I met some famous people. I met Dusty Rhodes. Oh, yeah. I met Wrestling Number Two. I rode on Thunderbolt Patterson's shoulders. Yeah, I've met Ryan Kalesko. What's that guy's autograph I got in the airport? It's in my office. Levi, where you at? That football player. Dallas Cowboys. Tony Dorsett. I sat down by him for 30 minutes before I realized who it was. I was talking to Eric Knight on the phone. I said, you Tony Dorsett? I said, here. I was trying to find something to sign. I said, sign my boarding pass. This is my office. I met him. I guarantee you, if you went to Dallas, Texas this morning, looked up Tony Dorsett, and said, Eddie White said me to come by and say, hey, he knows you. He'd say, Eddie who?
Yeah.
See, I've met him.
Yeah.
But he don't remember me.
Right. Yeah.
But I tell you what, if you got to heaven this morning, God's got a book.
Yeah.
God's got a book. Right on front of that book, I believe with all my heart, it just says life. Alphabetical order, I'm sure. You turn over to the W's.
Amen.
People go to great effort. My mama's been working on that ancestry.com. I'm scared to death what she's going to find. Have you ever been afraid of that? I don't know if I ain't sure. I'm pretty happy with who I am, where I come from. Don't bust my book. I got my own ideas of my ancestor. My great-great-great-great-grandfather was a great Cherokee Indian war chief. I'm sure of it. You write that in there, okay? But, buddy, let me tell you about my family history. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, we come in here and worship on Sunday morning because of the relationship we have. 25 years ago, I was adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm just not one of his servants, and I am a servant, but I'm a son. Because I'm saved. That's what Sunday's about for me. When they get up and sing that song, God's been good in my life. And I know visitors, when people get to shouting and get happy, people go, ooh. I ain't never seen nobody look like that at a ball game, have you? I mean, I know we use that analogy all the time, but I never have.
Amen.
They scream bloody murder every time Chipper goes to the plate and don't even know if he's going to hit the ball.
Yeah.
By the way, he ain't going to hit one for the rest of the year. Oh, Chipper got a broke leg. Oh. I'm not making fun of him. I love him. I love to watch him play. But we cheer over stuff that don't matter, man. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Man, Jesus saved my soul, Brother Warren. And I didn't deserve it all to be in hell this morning. But he took me as a dirty, rotten sinner just like he didn't have to put me through a program. He took me just like I was.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen.
Woo! So when they sing about it, I can't help but holler.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. When I watch my children stand up there and sing, God's been good, how can I sit there? That's my, I know I'm prejudiced, but that's my babies.
Yeah.
Every one of them. Even when Bib was, I consider her, man, she grew up right here. That's my babies.
Yeah.
I can't help but get happy.
Amen.
They could be out yonder on smoking crack, Brother
that's
Freddie.
Right,
I don't know how you take crystal meth, but that could be what they're doing this morning.
Right.
And instead, they're serving God now and raising babies of their own.
That's
hallelujah.
That's right.
I'm not going to come in here and keep my mouth shut
because
we have a relationship. Amen. He said our worship ought to be in remembrance, it ought to be in relationship, and it ought to be in repetition.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm back home now. I can say it right, can't I? I'm tired.
Yes.
You say that up north, they think you just got new tires on your truck. Or you just got tarred and feathered, amen? I've been going hard all week long. Running. You know what I'm going to do? I've got plans. I have big plans for today. There's one of them memory foam pillows. On my bed, it has my name on it. And I'm fixing to end this message because I hear it. Eddie, it's nap time. And I'm going to come back tonight and I'm going to preach to you again. You know what I'm looking forward to right now? Getting home tonight. Why? Because I need some sleep.
Amen.
But you know what? It's not the only time I'm going to do that this month.
Yeah.
By the end of tomorrow, you know what I'm going to need again? Come on, talk to me.
Yeah.
More sleep.
Right.
Why do you sleep every day? I need it. Why do I eat every day? I eat it. I need it. I eat it. Yeah, that's what I do. Since I've been riding that stupid bicycle, I eat twice what I used to eat, Brother Greg. Why? Because I need it. Somebody said, have you lost any weight? No, I gained a pound. Go figure that. Anybody want to gain weight? Ride a bicycle 40 miles. Worked for me. I'm talking about repetition. I don't see how people who say they're saved get by on Easter. I don't see how people who say they're saved get by on Mother's Day, Christmas, Father's Day. Y'all all right? Oh, but they claim to be children of God. But they only come to God's house on special occasions. You know what today is? Y'all might have missed it. Today's a holiday. It's a special occasion. I declare it. It's I'm saved day. My family ain't in hell day. God's been good to me today.
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do next Sunday? I'm going to do it again.
Yeah. Yes,
and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday. And why? Because I need it Sunday after Sunday.
Amen.
Somebody said, no, but the Bible don't say you have to come to church on Wednesday. It don't have to.
Amen.
I need it by Wednesday.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. With repetition. He talks about the Sabbath day and how we ought to worship it. He talks about our day of worship with remembrance, with our relationship, and then repetition. And then I'm going to close this. I'll give you this, and I'm done. Brother Todd, y'all come on, get a song. It's whoo. They sang a long time. It ain't my fault. If y'all didn't have so many burdens, have to pray so much, we'd get out of here earlier. I was just going to put it back on you a little bit. Amen. You know I don't mind you praying. But I want to talk about this principle of the Sabbath in relationship to our work. I believe the Lord believed in work.
Amen.
I heard this one time. I heard a preacher say it. You got to get up and go to work tomorrow because of the curse of sin. Uh-uh, brother. Work ain't part of the curse. Sweat is. Adam was working before Eve ever took the fruit. God, we serve a working God. You don't think God's a working God? Look around you. He done all this in 6 days. Take me a month to build a doghouse. And then Brother Freddie would look at it and go, God believes in work. Work is critical. God said man won't work, he won't eat. Somebody said, well, you don't work. What do you think I'm doing right now? I think I've been doing all week. Work is critical. You ought to work. If you able, you ought to work. It's good for you. You know you feel better when you work than when you don't. Some of you men been out of work a long time. Hey, Brother Don, where'd you go? Brother Don starts a job tomorrow. Hallelujah. He's been down. He's been mully grubbing around here, about to step on his bottom lip. And I understand why. I would too, brother. I'm not making fun of it. Oh, but I talked to him yesterday. I said, Brother Don, I had you on my heart. How you doing? He said, I'm doing great, actually. That's a different Don than I left. I left a Don that was saying, y'all pray for me. This is really getting to me. Boy, you sounded, oh, brother, I was on the getting on the rail car in the airport. I stuck that phone in my side. I said, well, glory to God. And people looking at me like, I was just talking to myself. I said, Don got a job. They must have thought that was my sugar daddy or something. I don't know. But I sure was glad. We ought to work, Brother Freddie. Amen. Work is commanded and it's crucial. But we ought not to put it above the God who gave it to us. Now listen, I made this statement a couple of weeks ago and I'm going to say it again. It seems funny to me, and I don't even know what the offering was this morning. It seems funny to me that we prayed and fasted that people get jobs. And many of you have gotten jobs, haven't they? But our offerings hadn't changed. And I know you're probably behind and trying to get caught up, but you will never get caught up if you're still robbing God. Those ends will never meet, I promise you, if you keep in that little old 10% that you ought to be giving God. Matter of fact, you ought to be so happy you got one, you'll give him a little extra. Just say, Lord, I want you to know I appreciate it. Amen. Let's remember, in principle, the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's teach our children that Sunday's God's day. Here's the day, kids, we go and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord, that we have a home and a family. Thank you, Lord, that we have food to eat and a job to work. God, today we're going to reverence you for who you are. You didn't come to a rock concert this morning. You come to a house of worship. You didn't come to a smoking light show this morning. You come to a house of worship. Let's stand our feet all over the house. I know that this was probably in no way a salvation message. But that don't mean you can't get saved here this morning. Let's bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around. I know it's late, and I apologize for that. I don't apologize for the singing, the praying, or the preaching. I just apologize for the time. Now listen to me carefully. Nothing more important will ever be asked in your life. Are you saved? If you don't understand the terminology, you're probably not. Have you been born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you died like you are, fell over graveyard dead in your pew right now, would heaven be your home? If you can't say with 100% certainty that heaven would be your home, I'd like to pray for you this morning. If you'd just slip up your hand, I won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. But if you're here this morning not sure you're saved, I'd just like to remember you when I pray. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, please. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray I'd get this settled in my heart. Anybody like that? Anybody? Well, hallelujah. Everybody here must be saved.
How about this? Hey, preacher, pray I'd take God's day more serious. I come to church sometimes, and all I can think about is what time are we going to get out because I got stuff to do. Pray I give God his day more attention. Or it'll be hands all over his house. Quite a few. I could do better about his day myself. And my day's consumed with his business. But I could always devote more attention, devote more of my mind and my thoughts to him. Oh, let's mind God this morning as the altar call is given. But just before they sing, let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, God, I'm glad you gave us this day, the first day of our week. Lord, what a way to start it. By worshiping you, by singing your praise, by praying in your name, by opening your Bible and hearing from your word. What a great way to start our week. Lord, my spirit is lifted when I come in this place. Oh, Lord, I got a feeling it'll need it again tonight. It'll need it again Wednesday and next Sunday. That's why we do it over and over. Lord, because we're human, we're not gods. Lord, we need you to lift us up time and time again. Father, I pray this morning, nobody raised their hand and said they were lost. But God, we don't have to raise our hand for you to know where we stand. So Lord, if there's somebody here lost today, I pray you'd deal with them. Lord, help them to realize there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. God, you saw every hand that said, I need to take God's day more serious. I need to be more faithful to God's day. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, help. Lord, if we do anything for you, you got to give us the ability to do it. Lord, give us the want to and the desire. God, I pray you just work on the hearts of your children this morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.